This is Pivot Perspectives with Chris O'Byrne, the show that takes you around the world to share interviews with some of the most successful and relevant people on the planet. Hear their stories and get the most important business lessons they've learned on their road to success, and get exclusive access on how to implement their success into your life and business. Pivot Perspectives is brought to you by the Strategic Advisor Board and your host, Chris O'Byrne.
Catherine O'Donnell, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you here. And I like to go back just a couple of years, you know, like childhood. And can you give me any sort of defining moments or any experiences that help shape who you've become today?
Absolutely. And I appreciate that you said a couple of years. That makes me feel so good. But I'll talk about my various experiences over the time and that 20 years worth of experience. But to start out, one of my experiences that really stands out as a child was I was really incredibly fortunate to be able to travel around the world. And one of the moments is that we were in Kenya, Africa, and we were living there and we were out in the fields. And we were sitting there for so long in the car, what felt like days, but we ended up stopping and we got out and I just had to release so much energy and I was doing cartwheels. And out of nowhere, this matriarch elephant comes and charges straight at us. And I can remember we had to think really quickly on our feet or then we wouldn't survive, right? And then also we had to be really incredibly adaptable in that situation. So with good communication. So the one person who said, get in the car, we all listened, we all got in the car, we came out of it unscathed, thankfully. But that was a huge lesson for me, was because you always have to think on your feet. You always have to expect the unexpected. And you're always going to have surprises like that. And you're going to have to learn how to deal with them when they come.
That is very interesting. I don't get that one too often. So what was it that, why were you traveling around the world?
So both my parents are academics. And so my father is a biologist. And then my mother studied, she taught Russian and French. And so we were able to travel around the world. And so we were in Kenya and my father was studying something called rock hyraxes at the time. And so we were out in the field a lot and we were camping basically next to a place called Lake Baringo, and where we had crocodiles and we had hippos coming at us. And we were always constantly having to try and get these humongous tortoises out of our tents. And so using papaya and mango to try and lure them out just because they needed the shade. And so, you know, we have so many adventures for that time. And then I used to travel to Siberia with my mom. She started a sister cities exchange program with Siberia. And so we would take the Trans-Siberian Railway every other summer. And so we would spend sometimes anywhere between 5 to 6 days on the Trans-Siberian, depending on if we went east or west. And so, you know, we were one of those people that once we reached our destination, we would be like, ground, yay. But it was an amazing experience. Seeing so many different cultures all throughout was incredible. And so I've been able to use a lot of that and a lot of those experiences and the people that I've met and the things that I've learned to be able to be where I am today.
How do you think that's affected your overall mindset as you look at everybody else in your industry or other people that are, you know, business acquaintances? I'm sure you've noticed differences between your mindset and theirs that you can attribute to this upbringing.
One of the things that I think by traveling has really helped me is to better understand how things could always be worse. So I try and find myself in that positive mindset. So when I'm talking to people, I'm not only listening to where they come from and their cultural backgrounds and what makes them tick, but I'm also bringing forward my culture and my positivity to every conversation that I have.
Okay. So then you went through school, you graduated. What was the first thing you went into out of high school?
So I graduated with a 4-year degree in advertising and a minor in Russian. And I decided that I wanted to move to the Bay Area and start my career there. However, it was at the time of the dot-com bust. So I thought that I would start in an advertising agency only to find out that everybody was getting laid off in advertising agencies. So I had to pivot. I had to decide where am I going to go next. And I worked for a consulting company that worked on renewable energy and on recycling programs in San Jose and all over the state of California. And so that was kind of my first initial dip into consulting. And then we got laid off. And then I had to really decide, where am I going to go next? What really makes me feel passionate? What do I want to do? And that's where I decided to go into animal welfare. And I had, when I was in college, I had worked for a graphic designer who really taught me a lot about branding. And so I found myself in nonprofit, working in animal welfare and raising funds, but then also finding that, wait, I can't raise funds if people don't know about us. So I had to really increase the visibility of these organizations that I was with to be able to build trust with people that were going to donate, but then also so that people could find us. And this was before the internet, before Facebook, so we had to be really creative. And so I did that for a while, and then I worked my way up to a director of development and communications working for a nonprofit also in the Bay Area. And I put them through a rebranding effort. Like, wow, I see a pattern here, right? And I really enjoyed that part. And so, we went through the rebranding effort and we got to the point where, we were differentiating ourselves from another organization with the same name in the same city, and people could understand who we were, what we did, and that who, what, where, when, why, and how, right? So we were really effective with our branding efforts. And then a crisis hit. And this is where our branding really came in handy. Is in the middle of the night, there was a fire at the shelter. And I got a call from one of the staff members, and I was half asleep, so I didn't answer it. And then I thought, within 5 minutes, I'm like, wait, if somebody's calling me in the middle of the night, it's probably an emergency. I should probably listen to the voicemail. It was absolutely devastating. And I make it down to the shelter within 15 minutes and to see flames shooting up into the sky. And as devastating as that was, I was the only director on scene at the time that the fire department handed over the building to me. And in that moment, I had to decide, when the media comes, what are we going to say to people? And I chose to be optimistic. I said, we will absolutely rebuild. And in doing so, that gave optimism to people, gave them hope for them to hear that animals died in the way that they did, was absolutely devastating. And it was devastating for all of us that worked so hard to get to the point where we could have animals ready for adoption. And so by 4:30 in the morning, I had the message set. I asked the staff members to put it on our website, that explaining exactly what we know about the fire at this point, and that we're going to rebuild and have a donate button ready. By 5 a.m., the media was there. And a lot of these were relationships that I had built with the media, and they were there to show what had happened. And I went live with the same message. And we had an email go out as well to all of our supporters, letting them know exactly what had happened that we knew of at the time. So we did both internal and external communications. We did branding. We did crisis communications. And we kept people aware of what was happening, so that they felt like if they contributed to the organization, that they were getting exactly what they felt like their money was going towards. And so that accountability, that transparency. And one thing that I am really proud of is that everybody who donated, which was over 4,000 people in just a few short weeks, all got thanked without an office. So all of that
Wow.
is communications that we put together. And after that, I went on and I said, I really want to help people at this point. And so I went on to a community health center and put them through a rebranding effort. And we did a whole new website, and we created a look and feel for the organization, because a lot of people, there were clinics, there were 43 clinics all in different communities that people didn't recognize the brand. We had different signage, we had different colors on the website, different fonts, different look and feel. And so we really brought that together, and so that people felt like they really knew what was involved at the community center, what kind of services they would get, what kind of care they would get, that it was a community-based organization. And so we created marketing materials, and we would go out into the community, meet them, establish relationships, and give them marketing materials so that they could use them whenever they needed them. So all of that basically was, in a nutshell, my experience in those 20 years.
So when, well, what made you decide to go into business for yourself then?
So I had gotten to the point with 20 years under my belt that I really wanted to bring that expertise to many other people. And it was to the point where I really wanted that freedom. I wanted to be able to help multiple people. I wanted to help multiple organizations and businesses do what I had learned over those 20 years and not have to run around in circles trying to figure it out. I could just come in and say, I know how to do that. I can help you do that. And that's where I really wanted to continue to help people and have that freedom and be able to mentor and see people thrive.
Okay, so and really, from everything you described about what you did for the animal shelter, and that organization was just, it was, yeah, I can totally see how that goes, just sort of a natural progression, and then more variety and more, options to help people in other industries and other niches. So tell me about your current company and what it is you do.
So my current company is called OP Creative Communications, and that's OP stands for Optimized or Ocean Pacific, either one. But what we do is that, I'm a brand visibility coach and then also a communications consultant. And so what the company does is that we help entrepreneurs, we help business owners, we help solopreneurs, we help nonprofits, and then also individuals who are looking to rebrand themselves for a new career. So, for instance, one of our clients right now is looking to, has applied for a CEO position and really wanted to be able to brand themselves and learn how to market themselves, make them more visible so that when the opportunity came, they were the person that a lot of the board members or, that would think of that person because they made themselves more visible. And obviously they did really well themselves in how they interviewed and how they presented themselves. But what we do is we just help guide them, help mentor, and then, review materials, for instance, or presentations or speeches. If they're going to interview with many people within a panel, we help them get prepared for that as well. And that's part of the communications aspect.
What are some ways a solopreneur can increase their brand visibility?
Well, a lot of it is online now. And so it's really about establishing connection online too. And, it's about optimizing, for instance, like using LinkedIn or using the best platform for your audience. So finding out where your audience lives is going to be really helpful in where you're going to put your efforts and marketing. So for instance, all of my audience and people that I'm targeting, a lot of that is on LinkedIn. And so I am constantly on LinkedIn. I am establishing relationships with people. And, you know, I never think that spamming is the right way to go, because we talk a lot about that online because it's a way to get yourself in front of people. But the point is that you have to really bring value to people. So in order to make yourself more visible, post, have a strategy, be able to post consistently. If there is something that you are trying to highlight, maybe a service of yours, talk about that, but then also integrate some of that personal aspect of you yourself so that people can better understand you, who they're going to be working with, and that they want to feel like they trust you and that they like you and they want to be able to work with you. So, you know, there are lots of things that people can do, you know, optimizing, for instance, if you're going to utilize LinkedIn, optimizing your photo to your banner page, you know, making that very accessible, making people understand, you know, at a third to fifth grade level, what you do.
So let's talk about LinkedIn for a second. So if I have limited time and I have choices between just short posts, writing articles, doing a newsletter, or doing lives, what should I focus on to get the most bang for my buck?
So the algorithm really wants people to provide value. So if you're going to want to provide value, a lot of what people like are videos and also images. So, you know, you might see that you are not getting that many likes or that many views when you post a video. However, the lifetime of that video will always be there. And so video is a great way, images, and then, you know, showing a little bit about who you are. So, you know, if you're going to go and hike and say hike in Sedona and you want to share that with people, then you should be able to share that with people because that's who you are and being true to yourself. And that's what I think does really well. And people want to know more about and see more of you that way.
And I do like hiking in Sedona.
I do too.
So maybe the LinkedIn Live might be, you know, if they had to choose just one place, I bet that'd be a very great way to go about it.
It is, but
focus on.
It is, but LinkedIn Live is also more complicated. So if you're starting out, you know, you really have to be able to market yourself, market your live, let people know when you're going to be live. So, you know, if you're starting out, for instance, and you're really trying to get people to know more about you and your services or programs, your company, you know, start out with just a video talking about, you know, what you do, what your services are, how it's helping people, you know, include testimonials on there because that helps to get people to say, okay, like they got a 5-star, it's a great testimonial. I want to know more about that person. And it validates your work.
That is a great idea because most people at least should be getting those video testimonials. And so there's some there's less effort involved. And then, so if they're going to upload a testimonial, would that get uploaded as just a post and then maybe an explanation of what you did for this person?
Absolutely. So when you ask somebody to do a testimonial for you, they'll usually say, you know, what do you want me to focus on? And don't just say they're, you know, you're a great character, you've got this and you're passionate about that. Be really focused on what you want them to talk about. So, you know, if I'm asking for somebody to do a testimonial for me, I would say, you know, mentorship. Well, how did I do when I was mentoring you? How did I do when I was coaching you? What did you take away from it? How did I help you? You know, you focus on the who, what, where, when, why, how, when you're asking that of people, and that gives them a direction and has a better understanding of what you need and what they can deliver.
So now on the communication side of things, what is it you focus on when you're consulting with communication?
So a lot of times it could be internal, external communications. It's amazing how organizations internally can think that they know exactly what's going on, therefore everybody knows what's going on. And it doesn't exactly work that way, right? So we've got administration who they're talking amongst themselves, they've made decisions, but then they might forget to tell people within the organization what it is that we're doing next. So that part of internal communications really needs to be able to go first. And then you focus on the external communication of getting that out to the public. What do you want the public to know? So if the staff knows exactly what's going on, when the public says, hey, what's going on with you? The staff can answer it and it's all the same consistent message. And so that's one part of the communications consulting. It's also about, what messaging that you're putting out there. Are you ready for a crisis? Just like what I was talking about earlier with the shelter being on fire. Are you all set for that? And so, being consistent in your messaging and how you're getting yourself out there is a really key component of that consulting work that I do.
Okay. Any tips along those lines, again, for that solopreneur?
So we know as solopreneurs that it can be an uphill battle. And we can want to learn so much and we can take everything in and, we can have people that are constantly saying, hey, I've got the product for you. Hey, I'm going to make this easier for you. I think sometimes we have to look at it as, what do we do best? What can we do that we know works really well? So if you are really good at marketing, but you're not so great at accounting, then find somebody that can help you with accounting. If you're not so great at something else, find somebody who can help you with that. Because the amount of time that you end up spending trying to figure out all of those pieces as a solopreneur, you end up spending more time on what you need to do to get yourself out there than actually getting yourself out there.
Yes, there's always that time limitation and trying to decide where to spend it. Do you have any success stories of like incredible results that you like to share with people you're super proud of?
Yeah, as an entrepreneur, you mean?
For your business, for OP Communications.
OP Creative Communications.
I knew there was another word in there.
No problem. That's one thing that we love to be is creative and think outside of the box and be able to help people kind of stand out in that sea of competition. So with OP Creative Communications, like for instance, one of our clients, we know that their target audience is older generations who aren't on social media. And so creating those print materials that we can send in the mail that people are going to enjoy looking at with pictures and stories and that they need donations. So for instance, we've been doing an annual report for a client for many years now. And the client was saying that they were talking to a grantor and the grantor said, oh, I just came across your annual report and I'm going to give you $10,000 because I know exactly what you're doing and I can see the transparency and the accountability within the organization. So we want to be able to support you. And it was that easy. Wow. For both the client and for the grantor to be able to give the money to a worthwhile organization who's doing great work.
Yeah, it just goes to show how powerful it can be. Who are some mentors or, positive influences on you in your entrepreneurial journey?
I've had some amazing mentors. I'm so honored that I do. I would say that, first and foremost, my family, obviously. In order for me to be able to be successful, I need to know that my family has my back and that they're supportive of me. And so that's a huge factor for me and for my business and being successful. And then also, I had a mentor, for instance, way back when, and one of the things that they said to me is never assume. How can you not assume anything, right? It's so hard.
Yeah.
However, it's always in the back of my mind when I'm thinking about anything, and it's allowed me to be able to look at things with different perspectives, to be able to better assess something than just automatically assuming that I know that this situation is X, Y, and Z. So that advice has always been really helpful and something that I've taken down the line with my staff, even my own family members. And another one of my mentors really talked about and honed in on the relationships of how important it is to cultivate and to steward people. And I don't mean just in the development fundraising sense. It's really about establishing the relationship so that people feel like they can tell you things, they feel comfortable with you, they want to be able to share what their weaknesses are without feeling any judgment, and feeling comfortable and having that trust factor. And so that really instilled in me of the importance of relationships. So, when you are a solopreneur, an entrepreneur, a business owner, or just even establishing those relationships can help you get further along in your business because you have people that want to work with you and consistently and constantly work with you. And then I also had another mentor who talked about they found that I have a really high EQ, emotional quotient. I didn't know what it meant at the time. I didn't know that this was part of emotional intelligence. And so they really helped me to see that that was important for anything that I did in life and how I can use that in both business and my personal relationships and how I should continue to cultivate that and continue to learn and to be able to use it in every situation that I'm in.
I like that. That's good. What's you're related to branding? What are some books or even one book that you recommend that would be useful for people?
Oh, there are so many books out there. I would say, there's so much information right now online. I don't want to just highlight one book specifically. There are quite a few books that I've used throughout the years, but they're probably at this point kind of out of date. But there's so much online to be able to learn more about branding and, even just looking up on YouTube of how do you brand an organization, for instance, you can get a lot of information online.
Okay, that's a good suggestion and a good way to get out of recommending a book.
I want to be very diplomatic here.
You are. What is well, let's just talk about valuable lessons. What are some valuable lessons you've learned along the way in your journey?
I would say, one of the most valuable lessons is anticipate the unanticipated. Doesn't matter
How do
how
you do
old,
that?
you're thinking through the various scenarios that you have. So if you're going to meet a client, for one, you're going to want to be prepared. You're going to want to learn about the company that you're meeting, the person that you're meeting with. What is it that makes them tick that you can find information about them? You want to try and get as much information about them and think, okay, if I were looking at it in a different way and they asked me this question, am I going to be prepared? Because guaranteed, people are going to want to work with somebody who shows that they're prepared.
Yes.
They're not going to want to work with somebody who just like flies in and says, I can do this work for you and I'm going to do a great job. No, they really want to see that you can do a great job and that you will do a great job for them.
So be prepared in terms of showing them other people you've helped, what your process looks like, what they can expect, everything along those lines.
Absolutely. And everybody is going to be different. So, Chris, what you might need, for instance, might be different than what Brenda needs. Or, so coming into it as if they're your only client and that you really care about them and seeing the success of them, and then finding out what is it that they like to do? How do they like to work? And you can ask, do you like to work by yourself? Do you like to work in a group? Do you like to be mentored? Would you rather just, let's talk about the strategies and I can provide you with the strategies and then you can run with them? Like, what works best for each individual person? And that makes a huge difference in tailoring what you do to what somebody needs.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense. And then, so actually, the term that comes to mind is risk analysis, which I think is closely related to this.
It is.
Yeah, and again, that preparedness. It's mm-hmm. because that's what is behind risk analysis. It's behind doing a great job. It's people want to know that you have a system and a process.
Absolutely. Yeah. So for instance, one of my clients, they're a startup and they are working on creating a device that can better understand animals and have that relationship be something that is going to be a better relationship for the animal and the person. And the whole idea is that it's going to help reduce the amount of dogs, cats that are entered into shelters because people don't understand them. So majority of animals that end up in shelters are primarily because of behavioral, but it could be because a dog is saying, I'm scared, or because, a cat is saying, hey, back off. I'm too concerned. I don't know what's going on right now. So helping to better understand an animal, we know that we're looking at the risk assessments and we're looking at, how people are going to perceive this because they know their animal. And there's this emotional factor that people feel like, I know my animal better than anybody else. And it's through using science and AI that's going to help people better understand their animals.
Oh, that's fascinating. Yeah, that's just one more aspect of AI that is going to be infiltrating every aspect of our lives.
It is. Well, it's a scientist that has already done this with another species is working on this currently.
Oh, cool. What is an area that you are planning to improve yourself on? Because people like you and I, we're always looking at how we can improve ourselves. So what are you looking at improving in your life?
I would say probably accounting. That's why I slipped it in there earlier.
Should you double down on your strengths?
Absolutely. So, one of the things that I love to do is I love to learn. And, part of when you are a mentor, you are a coach, you're not only bringing your experience to people, but you're also sharing the various trends that are out there or, what's happening. Like, is the algorithm constantly changing? Well, you want to be able to share that so that people know up front versus let's learn the lesson together. So I'm constantly learning about what's out there, what's happening, so that I can bring that information to my clientele and they can just start from a baseline versus, going down a huge journey.
So what are some parting words of wisdom that you would like to leave us with?
I would say, that it's really important to not quit. Especially if you are an entrepreneur. I heard a stat just recently about 80% of entrepreneurs quit or they give up within the first 5 years. And that's a huge, staggering statistic. So just because something doesn't work doesn't mean that you can't pivot into something else. And, I had a coach in gymnastics. I used to compete in gymnastics many, many years ago. And I had a coach who said, nobody in this gym can use the word can't. He said, I'm not going to hear it. And that really stayed with me. And I worked so hard to get this one gymnastics maneuver called the kip on the balance beam or on the bars. And I had worked so hard, I'd gotten to the point where like I just couldn't do it. And come competition, I'm like, okay, my mindset, my positive mindset, I'm going to get this kip today. And sure enough, what happens? I get the kip in the competition. And that feeling of being on top of the world, I got it. Not only did I get something that I was working so hard to get, but also that it was in competition. And that's what I want for people to feel that they're on top, they can win. But not only that they're winning, but they're also winning it together with me. And that it's a team effort, just like when you're competing with gymnastics.
Great words of advice. Catherine, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been such a pleasure, Chris. Thank you.
You bet.
Thanks for listening to Pivot Perspectives with your host, Chris O'Byrne. Please leave your feedback and visit strategicadvisorboard.com to get the latest and greatest business advice on the planet. Follow us on social media for updates, and we will see you on the next episode.